Today is the fifth day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. Always great to be here with you and glad to be here together around the global campfire in a safe place to take the next step forward. We're kind of in move-in week, but we're getting pretty well moved in. We're moved into the books that we are reading, Genesis, Matthew, Psalms, and Proverbs. And so let's dive into today's reading, moving into the book of Genesis, continuing this kind of origin story. We are post Noah and the flood now. What happens next? Genesis chapters 11, verse 1 through 13, verse 4. The whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. As people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make oven-fired bricks." They used brick for stone and asphalt for mortar, and they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let's make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered throughout the earth." Then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. The Lord said, "If they have begun to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon, for there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them throughout the earth. These are the family records of Shem. Shem lived 100 years and fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. After he fathered Arpachshad, Shem lived 500 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 35 years and fathered Shelah. After he fathered Shelah, Arpachshad lived 403 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Shelah lived 30 years and fathered Eber. After he fathered Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and fathered Peleg. After he fathered Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and fathered Reu. After he fathered Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and fathered Serug. After he fathered Serug, Reu lived 207 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and fathered Nahor. After he fathered Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and he fathered Terah. After he fathered Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years and fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. These are the family records of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans, during his father Terah's lifetime. Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Aram's son, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem, at the Oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me but let you live. Please say you are my sister, so it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, so the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, and Abram acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She's my sister,' so that I took her as my wife? Now, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he, his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram called on the name of the Lord there. Matthew 5:1-26. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law, until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, "Do not murder," and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. Whoever says, "You fool," will be subject to hell fire. So if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Reach a settlement quickly with your adversary while you're on the way with him to the court, or your adversary will hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Psalm 5. The Refuge of the Righteous. For the choir director with the flutes. A Psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch expectantly. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil cannot dwell with you. The boastful cannot stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who tell lies. The Lord abhors violent and treacherous people. I enter your house by the abundance of your faithful love. I bow down toward your holy temple in reverential awe of you. Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my adversaries. Make your way straight before me. For there is nothing reliable in what they say. Destruction is within them. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongues. Punish them, God. Let them fall by their own schemes. Drive them out because of their many crimes, for they rebel against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever. May you shelter them, and may those who love your name boast about you. For you, Lord, bless the righteous one. You surround him with favor like a shield. Proverbs 1:24-28. Since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I, in turn, will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you. Then they will call me, but I won't answer. They will search for me, but won't find me. Okay, so in our reading from the book of Genesis today, humankind planned to build a city and a tower to the heavens as a monument to themselves, something to hold them together, something to exalt themselves. Again, we have God's intervention. We were never intended to be a sovereign to ourselves. Self-sufficiency, it kind of runs right down into our personal lives. This is contrary to the true intended nature, which is to be intimately connected with God. And so the plans at Babel were disrupted by God. He dispersed the people, confusing their language. Babel being Babylon. And where do we get this term? Babbling. And so humans spread across the earth as a result. Then we move into the Gospel of Matthew, and we're getting to like a really, really important piece of scripture in the New Testament, a really, really central foundational piece of Jesus' ministry. He began to teach what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a disruptive message, because it describes a world that we long for but have no idea how to achieve, which might be the point. Like the people at the Tower of Babel, we can't achieve the life we long for by our own cunning and ingenuity. We can accomplish a lot. We can accomplish marvels. Like in all of our lifetimes, marvelous things have been accomplished. But without understanding our utter dependence on God, we cannot fill things like this longing, this void, this emptiness within our souls and within ourselves. We can fill it with all kinds of things, but they are temporary and they burn out. We are kind of like a bottomless pit without the Spirit of God. So Jesus spoke of the countless blessings for those who reach and acknowledge the end of their own strength and ability, only to find that God will be there. We are happiest most content when we depend on God for everything we are and everything we will ever be. And so may we open our eyes to that right here at the beginning of the year, right here at the outset. May we depend on God today and make this the practice and habit in every choice we make, every word we speak, every action that we take, knowing that when we are doing that, we are safe in His care. When we are living in the light and walking in the truth, and that is a choice. And then we get into the Proverbs today and we see that this choice has always been there. Wisdom is speaking and says, I called you so often. You just wouldn't call me, you wouldn't listen. I reached out to you, but you didn't pay any attention. You ignored my advice. You rejected the correction I offered. I don't know about you. That's like my autobiography. Like ignoring wisdom. I mean, I would hope by now, 20 years of reading the Bible and walking this path, but man, some days I am not so sure, right? I mean, it is a struggle. But there is always a choice, and the voice of wisdom is always available. We are always at a crossroads. Every choice that we make is a crossroads, because every choice is to go this way or to go that way. And every choice matters. These words probably resonate from Proverbs because we've all probably been that person. Today is a new day. Today is a new chance to start again. May we pay vigilant attention. May we open our eyes and open our ears to our own selves and pay attention to the voice of wisdom as we move through this day. And we'll be surprised at how often just paying attention will snap us awake and clearly speak into the immediate situation we have to face. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit into that spirit of truth. May we listen to the voice of wisdom. May we slow down just enough to give ourselves a tiny bit of margin to think, to open our eyes and ears, to count the cost of what we are about to do, and to consult you and to think to ourselves, can I do that in alignment with and in covenant with and walking with God? We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, website and app, where you find out what's going on around here. And like I said, it's been move-in week. So we've gotten moved into a lot of things. Let me tell you about the Daily Audio Bible as a community itself, as a family of programs. So this is Daily Audio Bible, and we're going through the Bible the way that we are. We're talking about Proverbs here and the voice of wisdom and the crossroads that every choice is for us. There is a companion called the Daily Audio Proverb. Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. We read through the entire book of Proverbs every month, and it takes like 2 minutes, 2 minutes a day to pour the unfiltered wisdom of the ages into our lives. A wise move, because once that starts repetitively getting inside of us, then it becomes available to us as we face the choices that we make. We immediately consult the voice of wisdom within. And so be aware of that, adding just that, a couple of minutes more a day, maybe at night before you go to sleep or something, just a couple of minutes on break or whatever, brings the wisdom of the ages and makes it available. There's also daily audio psalm, which also is just a couple of days. And we've talked about psalms being kind of the cry of the heart, the soundtrack to it all, the words of the soul, whether that be protest or whether that be praise, whether that be lament or whether that be joy, the language is there. It's given to us and for us. And so that is available. There is Daily Audio Bible Chronological, and many of you are what we lovingly call double dabbers, going through the Bible in two different ways in a year. My wife, Jill, is at Daily Audio Bible Chronological, leading a beautiful, huge community over there, moving through the Bible in chronological order, in the order that we believe things happened as they are laid out in the scriptures. And then there is Daily Audio Bible Kids. Our son Ezekiel is going through the entire New Testament for kids by a kid. There's something special. If you're a grown-up, there's something special about that coming out of the lips of a child. But so many of you, children, grandchildren, are involved in that community. Homeschoolers are on the way to school, are on the way home from school, at bedtime. Such a perfect addition to bring the Bible by a child into the lives of a child, into the daily rhythm. It's not just we adults who need this. Implanting it deep, implanting it young, is planting the Word of God into their lives in a habitual, ongoing way. So be aware of that. And then there are a number of other daily audio Bibles in different languages, depending on what your native tongue is. All of these are accessible and available in the Daily Audio Bible app and at dailyaudiobible.com. And so check that out and add on and add in what you need and what you are led to do. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, we are a community. We are a community that is there for each other. This is one of the most beautiful communities ever, where we are all over the world. We accept each other where we are, how we are, encouraging each other forward, praying for each other. So if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app, little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's all for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, this is Marilyn calling from New Hampshire on Sunday, December 28th. Happy New Year to everybody. I'm calling with a praise report for our daughter, Bree. She has been hospitalized in and out the last couple months. She got home on Friday ago, like a week ago, and she's doing really, really well. She came home on TPN, which is a nutrition drink. Well, it goes into her blood vein, and it's nutrition that her body really needs, and she's been really doing well with it. She's been getting stronger. She's been gaining weight, and we just praise you, God, for what you're doing in Bree through the TPN. We pray that it continues to strengthen and heal every part of her body, God. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Bree's body and heart and her mind. We pray you continue to strengthen her, and most important, Lord, draw breed to you, God. She has an amazing life ahead of her, God, and no weapon formed against Bree will prosper. So we thank you for all your prayers. We love you all. Happy New Year to you. And we pray for all your needs, God, even though we love this family. Even though we don't pray out loud, we pray silently for all the requests. And Happy New Year to everyone. And God bless you, Brian and Jill, and everyone. And we love you, and thank you for your prayers for Bree and this wonderful community. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. This is Candace from Oregon. I have a grandson that really needs prayer, if you just agree with me. He started a couple years back with a psychosis that was really severe. Since then, he's recovered, done exceedingly well, way better than he could have thought over time. And but he is symptomatic again right now, but he has some experience, so he's like making really good choices about what he should do about it. And he made it to work today, so please join with me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that my grandson said today when I was out walking the dog with him, that he said, after I said it, that he too just wants to be more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you showed us how to live, how to be servants, how to be humble about what we can do, and just handle one day at a time. And I pray that you'd be with him at work. He would not get fired, that he would be able to meet up with everything that's needed at his workplace and do a really good job. I pray that you give him confidence, and I pray for a complete and total healing for him, mind, body, soul, spirit, emotions, from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Hello, my name is Bill. I'm calling in from London in the UK. I've been listening in for a very, very long time, and this is my first time calling in. I'm calling in asking for prayer for myself. I'm recording this on the 29th of December, and I'm just reflecting that this time last year I was just on the edge, the tipping point of burnout, and I didn't know it. And now, a year later, I don't feel a lot different. The difference being for me is that I've left the job that caused the burnout. I've been out of work for 4 months. I'm just trying to recover and also just dealing with the pressures of everyday life. And I'm asking you, community, family, to pray for me, to pray for my mental health, pray for my family as I navigate this really tricky time, but also for provision of work. I know God is doing stuff. I know stuff is on the way, but I'm just asking that you would pray that I would be patient, that I would wait well, and that he would make the path that I'm on clear, so I know what the next step is to take. Because at the moment, I feel incredibly confused and unable to see clearly where I should be going. And I don't want to waste my efforts going boldly in the wrong direction. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your prayers in advance. And bless you. Bless you all. Bless you for your faithfulness to this community. Thank you, Brian, Jill and family, for your faithfulness to this community. And I'm looking forward to what next year has in store for me and for all of us. Thank you. Amen.
This is JC from Texas, and this prayer is for Shirley, who lost her husband recently. Father, I lift Shirley up to you as she struggles with the loss of her husband. Please surround her with your peace and comfort as she journeys through this new chapter in her life. Give her the wisdom she needs to make difficult decisions and fill her with your strength to help her take the next step forward throughout the coming days. Help her to focus on Jesus and totally trust in your leading. Lord, please make provision for every need that comes up in the days ahead. Place godly people in her path who have experienced the loss of a spouse and can give encouragement to Shirley when those times of deep despair arise. Lord, Reassure her that you are with her and you will never leave her, as it states in your word. I thank you for what you're going to do in Shirley's life as she leans into you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Shirley, I'm so sorry for your loss, especially during this season. Please know, it's okay to grieve in your own way, but keep moving forward. God has a plan, and you must trust in His timing. I love you, Shirley, and will continue to lift you in prayer.